Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. When Marissa Carmichael was a teenager growing up in North Carolina, it was her house that everyone gathered at. Marissa loved having friends over and was definitely a social butterfly. She was well-liked by her peers. And Marissa was not just friendly and kind, but she was fun and people just enjoyed being around her. As Marissa grew up, she would go on to have 5 children by the age of 25. She would be raising these children on her own as a single mother, but she was up for the challenge. Despite the hurdles, Marissa loved her kids and wanted to do her best. But Marissa was still only 25 years old, and she wanted to go out and have fun sometimes as well. On January 13th, 2024, Marissa decided to go out with a friend to a nightclub in Greensboro, about 20 minutes from her home in High Point, North Carolina. Marissa's friend went home earlier than Marissa, and Marissa would catch a ride from a male friend to a local gas station. It was just after 3 o'clock in the morning. From there, she would call 911 to tell authorities that she was lost. Someone had dropped her off and driven off with her phone, and she had no way to get home. She didn't even know where she was. When authorities did show up, a full 40 minutes later, Marissa was nowhere to be found. The next day, Marissa's parents received some odd phone calls from Marissa and an unknown man. But after getting a fake address from the caller to pick up Marissa, they realized they couldn't find Marissa anywhere, and somebody was lying to them. Marissa had vanished, and authorities were notified. The events that took place that night have become a mystery that no one has been able to solve. Where is Marissa Carmichael?
She's just the sweetest girl you could ever meet. You would just have to meet her to understand. She rarely meets any strangers. She don't know no strangers. You know, she's cool with anybody she meets. You gotta do something to her for her not to like you. She just needs to be found, man. She needs to be found.
She make people laugh. She can turn like the littlest thing into a lot of fun. We always kept in touch. We never went more than hours without being in touch. And I think when she was reaching out in college, she was figuring out, okay, he's really maybe not bringing me home at this point.
It's exhausting. It really is. It's tiring. We just want her home. We miss her.
She's very optimistic. She's just a great person all the way around. And we just need to get her home, you know. We just need to get her home.
We're going to drive ourselves crazy looking for you. but we are going to find you. And whoever has her, you are just evil.
I'm not giving up. I'm working every day. And we're looking for you. We're trying to find you. We're not giving up.
Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons story. Marissa's story is one of those truly baffling ones. In the beginning, there was a lot of misinformation put out there. It was confusing. There were also several people with and around Marissa the night she was last seen, making the investigation even more complicated. I will do my best to lay out the story in a concise way, but if it does make your head begin to spin, trust me, you aren't the only one. First, I do want to give a shout out and a big welcome to our newest Patreon members, Allison and Ashley. Thank you for joining us over on Patreon and supporting our show and our mission. A reminder as well, all of our social media links and contact information can always be found in the show notes, and we welcome all of your feedback, good and bad, and we want your case suggestions as well. Those lesser known cases that you know about, but haven't had the media attention they should. Okay, now let's get into the story of Marissa Carmichael. Those closest to Marissa, her friends and family, will all describe her as a beautiful girl who loves to be around people. She was always social, and it was her house as a teenager that everyone would gather at. Marissa was friendly and fun from childhood on. She grew up in North Carolina, being raised by her parents, and she had one younger sister, Emma. As a young adult, Marissa would become a mother to 5 children. Now, the details about her life at this point isn't clear. Neither are the circumstances surrounding the father or fathers of the children. But Marissa was a dedicated mom. In 2024, she and her children were living at her parents' home in High Point, North Carolina, while Marissa worked at a local Waffle House restaurant. Life wasn't perfect, but Marissa was trying her best, and her close-knit family was there for her every step of the way. The disappearance. January 13th, 2024 was a cold Saturday in Greensboro, North Carolina. One of Marissa's girlfriends had been staying at Marissa's family's house while she was kind of down on her luck. Marissa's parents wanted to help her out and decided to let her stay with them until she could get back on her feet. This girlfriend, who has been unnamed publicly, and Marissa decided to go out to a nightclub that night in Greensboro, North Carolina. The club was the 117 Sofa Bar and Lounge. They met up with some people at the club and ended up leaving at some point to go to a nearby Airbnb where some of them were staying and they wanted to continue partying. At that point, Marissa's friend had decided to go home early, and her friend texted Marissa that she would just go ahead and head home and she would see her in the morning. Later on, a man from that party would drive Marissa to a nearby Exxon gas station and drop her off there. But it wasn't a normal drop-off. He made her get out of the car, take her belongings, but not her cell phone, before he drove off. From the gas station, Marissa would call 911 from a borrowed cell phone in a panic because this man had driven off with her phone and left her at this gas station, somewhere in an area of Greensboro that she wasn't familiar with. I'm going to play this 911 call for you when we talk about the investigation part of her case. This call was only discovered later on when the search for Marissa would finally become serious. The 911 call came in at 3:40 a.m. An officer showed up at 4:19 a.m., a full 39 minutes later. When he arrived, Marissa was not there. Since Marissa didn't seem too distressed in her 911 call, the officer initially just figured she probably ended up getting a ride home. He left the scene a few minutes later without searching for Marissa in any way. That Sunday, January 14th, 2024, Marissa's mom woke up to a couple of missed calls from an odd and unknown phone number. It had been Marissa trying to reach her mom. The calls came in around 5:08 a.m. Marissa's dad would say that he also received a call from Marissa around that same time, and since he was awake, he answered it. On the phone was Marissa. She was using a friend's phone, and she asked to speak to her girlfriend, the one who had been living with them at the time. Her dad went upstairs and found the friend there in bed, sleeping, and he woke her up and handed her the phone. He heard the friend say that she didn't know the person who had Marissa's cell phone, and that was the extent of the call. It seemed Marissa was trying to locate her missing cell phone that had been left in the car of the man who had taken her to the gas station. Her dad didn't think too much of it until Marissa's mom woke up and they started talking about it. It did seem weird. They were certain that there had to be an explanation. That afternoon, her parents learned that Marissa had not shown up for her shift at Waffle House. Now, they were very worried. This was not like Marissa at all. Immediately, her mother tried calling back that mysterious number that Marissa had called from earlier. But this time, a man answered, and he told them that Marissa was asleep. They asked him for the address so they could just come and pick her up. And he gave them an address and said, sure, and then ended the call. Her parents jumped into the car and went off to pick up their daughter. Or so they had hoped. Their hearts sank when they arrived at the address. It was a Sheetz gas station, and there was no sign of Marissa there. Calls back to that mysterious phone were no longer being answered, and text messages were being ignored. Marissa Carmichael had disappeared. The search and investigation. When Marissa's family contacted law enforcement to report her as missing, they were not taken very seriously. Marissa was an adult after all, and she hadn't been missing that long. And seeing as that they had just heard from Marissa earlier in the day in those early morning hours, and they knew she didn't have her phone, authorities thought she just hadn't found a way to get in touch with them yet. But surely she would. However, her parents knew something was wrong. This was not only very out of character for Marissa, but they also felt that her friend, the one living with them, had begun acting odd. She hadn't really wanted to talk to them about the night before, the night Marissa and she went out, and then she ended up leaving the home. Marissa's parents had a weird, sickening feeling. And let's face it, you can't ever ignore a mother's intuition. But they were at a standstill. Marissa's friend had left the home, and she didn't come back, and it seemed she didn't want to talk. Her parents didn't know the other people who were with them that night at the club or the Airbnb, and they didn't know who else to reach out to. They just didn't know what to do. And it seemed that nobody would listen to them. It would actually be a few days later, in the middle of the week, when authorities finally began investigating and taking them seriously. It was then that the parents finally learned about the Exxon gas station and that strange 911 call that Marissa had made. The call was odd. She indicated she was lost, didn't know how to get home, and that she also didn't have her phone. It's not clear whose phone she used to make that call, and law enforcement has never publicly said either. Now, Marissa sounds concerned during the call, but not necessarily panicked. Take a listen to the call, and you can decide for yourself how you think she sounds.
Guilford Metro 911, what's the address of your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I need to contact to the non-emergency number.
it comes into the same center, I could try to help you while I have you on the phone, and I can give you
okay, yeah, I don't know where I am in Greensboro. I just got all my stuff throughout the car. He took off with my phone. I have no clue where I'm at. I have no numbers.
Are
no
you
nothing.
Are you at a business?
I am at a store, yes. I'm at a Synergy.
Are you at an Exxon?
Is this an Exxon
801 East Market? Yeah, 801
East. Okay, it's an Exxon, yes.
Okay, what's your name?
Are you hurt, needing an ambulance? No, I'm not, but I mean, like, he told me to come into the store and grab some shit and, like, took off on me, and I don't know where I'm at. I'm in the middle of Greensboro. He took my phone. I don't have my phone. Yes, back to my house.
All right, what are you wearing so officers can identify you when they get there?
You said what?
What are you wearing so officers can identify you when they get there?
I'm wearing some blue jeans and a white shirt with some yellow sneakers. That's not going to help my problem, though, ma'am. I'm stuck all the way in Greensboro, and I don't know where I'm at.
Okay, you just told me you're at the Exxon.
Yes, but in order for me to get back home, I don't have any of my contacts.
Okay, I'm going to send an officer out there to see if they can help you in any way.
Okay.
All right, they'll be there as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
This call was important for a couple of reasons. It placed Marissa at 3:40 a.m. at the Exxon gas station, and it gave a little background as to what had happened. It also let investigators know why she didn't have her phone. It also led to the next step in the investigation, which was to obtain security footage from that Exxon. Law enforcement was able to do just that, and upon reviewing it, they found Marissa on the camera. They see Marissa getting dropped off, and then they see her shortly after getting into someone else's car and leaving the gas station completely. Interestingly, it's believed that law enforcement has identified those individuals, but hasn't released their identity, referring to them only as witnesses. Now, detectives have stated that they do have more information, but at this time, they are not releasing anything to the public. They did conduct a thorough search of the Exxon in that immediate area, and they did search the Airbnb that Marissa had been at that night and early morning. They never disclosed if any evidence was uncovered. That female friend who had been living with Marissa and Marissa's family left the house that day, the day she vanished, and never returned. Her family remains suspicious of her behavior and her seemingly disinterest in finding her missing friend. With little information to go on, Marissa's family kept up the search as best as they could. They tried to keep her name in the media, and they worked with community organizations to hang up flyers, go door to door, search areas around the Exxon, and track down people who may have seen Marissa the night of January 13th. One odd thing that did keep happening, though, was at that Exxon gas station, workers there repeatedly took down the missing posters of Marissa. When the family asked them why they were taking them down, why were they doing that, they stated that one of the men seen with her in those early morning hours on camera was a regular customer of the store, and he was bothered by the fact that those flyers were up. It disturbed him. And he would ask them to take them down, or he himself would take them down. Weird, right? The family has not found any answers as to where Marissa is. Her family does have a theory, though. They are adamant that they believe Marissa was kidnapped, possibly for sex trafficking purposes. They said she is a fighter, though, and she would have fought back, unless there were other factors involved, weapons, drugs, or perhaps multiple people. They don't believe that she would have left on her own accord, especially leaving behind her 5 children. Her family would go on to care for Marissa's kids in the weeks and months after Marissa vanished, but failing health in the family caused them to eventually place those children up for adoption. Marissa's mother is gravely ill, but continues to hope for answers on where her daughter is. Greensboro, North Carolina. Greensboro, North Carolina is a large city in the north-central part of the state. It's actually the 3rd largest city in North Carolina behind Charlotte and Raleigh. They have a current population of just around 300,000 residents. Now, we could analyze the area around the Exxon where she was last seen, that Exxon on East Market Street in Greensboro. But since Marissa was seen on surveillance camera getting into someone else's car and leaving, it kind of seems a moot point. It's likely she's nowhere even near that Exxon gas station any longer. And if she left the gas station between 3:40 a.m. and 4:19 a.m. when the officer arrived, and then she called her dad an hour later, we know that she was still okay an hour later. We know that she was able to use a phone. She could have been miles away from Greensboro at that point. And of course, authorities may have this information, but maybe have chosen to keep it quiet. Greensboro, North Carolina, has experienced very notable fluctuations in crime rates over the recent years. According to the Greensboro Police Department, the city reported 2,499 violent crimes in 2023, marking an 88.9% increase from the 1,300 incidents in 2014. It almost doubled in 9 years. Homicides specifically rose from 23 in 2014 to 77 in 2023, which is a 234% surge. Neighborhood Scouts analysis indicates that Greensboro's crime rate stands at 47 per 1,000 residents, placing it among the highest nationwide. Residents face a 1 in 21 chance of becoming a victim of either a violent or a property crime. 1 in 21. The violent crime rate is particularly concerning, with a 1 in 120 chance of being a victim, and the city continues to experience one of the highest murder rates in the nation. I'm not going to go into all the specific neighborhoods in and around Greensboro, but statistics do show that some areas of the city have much higher crime rates than other areas. For example, the University area is considered much safer, has very low crime rates. And yet, the neighborhood where Marissa was last seen in is actually considered one of the most dangerous parts of the city. Is that why it took police almost 40 minutes to get to her in those early morning hours? Were they on another call? Are they shorthanded? Is there a lot going on after 3 a.m. in Greensboro? Still, it seems like they should have arrived much quicker than 40 minutes. But it's also possible that they didn't see it as a true emergency, since Marissa herself said on the phone that it wasn't. But since when do authorities take a caller's word for things on a 911 call? I don't know. It still feels to me like they should have been able to get there quicker. Now, the city of Greensboro is pretty dense, pretty populated, full of residential areas, business districts. There's really not a lot of desolate and obscure areas around Greensboro. Not the type of areas where a person can remain hidden. Of course, with North Carolina in general, there are mountains and forests likely within an hour's drive or so of Greensboro. There are also a few notable water sources in and around Greensboro. There's Lake Brant, an 816-acre municipal reservoir located in North Greensboro, popular for fishing, paddleboarding, kayaking, canoeing, and hiking trails. There's also Lake Townsend, Greensboro's largest reservoir. Lake Townsend also offers boating, sailing, and is known for fishing. There's a marina that provides boat rentals. They even host annual sailing events. The surrounding trails around the lake are popular for hiking and birdwatching. Lake Townsend covers over 1,500 acres and is around 34 feet deep at its deepest points. There's also Buffalo Lake, a 77-acre private reservoir situated right within Greensboro. Historically, it served as a water source for a textile mill, remnants of which do still exist at the lake's eastern end. The lake is primarily surrounded by gated residential communities, and it really has very limited public access. So what questions do you have on the case of Marissa Carmichael's disappearance? I know I certainly have a few. I'd like to know why authorities took 40 minutes to check on Marissa that morning. Why hasn't her friend, the one who was living with her, spoken out and tried to help search and find Marissa? Why has law enforcement been so hush-hush on Marissa's case? And why is no one from that night of the party speaking up on behalf of Marissa? Surely there were multiple people at the club. Multiple people were known to be at that party, that Airbnb. Why has no one come forward with any type of information? Theories ran rampant in the early days of her disappearance, so I really don't want to foster any mistruths, but there are a few possible theories. Number one, human trafficking. This is the story that her family believes. Number two, foul play. Something must have happened to Marissa to keep her away from her family for so long and concealed. Or number three, she left on her own. Perhaps the mother of five was struggling more than people knew and just had to get out. She had to leave and start new somewhere else. It's worth noting there has been no activity on her social media accounts, of which she used to be active daily. There have been no hits on her social security number or any other identification hits either. It's truly as if she vanished into thin air. What do you think happened to Marissa Carmichael? Marissa is described as a biracial female standing 5'5" tall and weighing around 250 pounds when she was last seen in the very early morning hours of January 14th, 2024. Marissa was just 25 years old. Marissa has shoulder-length black hair and brown eyes. She has a heart tattoo on her face and a butterfly tattoo near her eye. She was last seen wearing a white Tweety Bird t-shirt, blue jeans, and yellow sneakers. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Marissa Carmichael, please contact Crime Stoppers at 336-373-1000 or the Greensboro Police Department at 336-350-5839. Remember, as always with Crime Stoppers, you can choose to remain anonymous. Marissa's family has been waiting for answers, and they have had to make some heartbreaking decisions in the past years since she disappeared. Her children had to be put up for adoption as her mother was too ill to take care of the kids. Her mom was diagnosed with cancer and has other illnesses that she is required to take regular medication for and receive regular care. It's been so much for the Carmichael family to deal with. They simply want their daughter back or to at least know what happened to her. And I'm certain in a case like this one, someone out there definitely knows something. Thank you for listening to her story today. Keep sharing Marissa's name, her photo. We have to work to keep her case in the media and keep pushing for answers. A big thank you and welcome once again to our newest Patreon members, Allison and Ashley. Thank you for supporting us over on Patreon and for helping us continue to bring you as many missing person stories as we can. If you are interested in joining us over on Patreon, membership starts at just $3 a month, and you can enjoy ad-free episodes and bonus episodes. You can also know that you are supporting our cause and helping us do what we do. We also continue to make regular donations to missing person charities and family GoFundMes, as well as directly to the families of the missing persons that we cover. If you aren't sure, Patreon also has a free membership level that you can join. You can certainly join us over there for free if you'd like. Of course, a reminder to make sure you are following us over on the socials. Lots of case updates in the works this year. I've recently shared some of the news of the new searches in the Aisha Degree case, and there are several court trials coming in regarding some of the missing persons we have covered in the past. We'll share all of that over on the socials first. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Instagram, Facebook, X, and YouTube. I also always welcome all feedback and any case suggestions that you may have. You can reach me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. If you've made it this far and would like to help our show reach a wider audience, consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. It truly does help a lot with getting the show out there. And as we know, solving missing person cases truly does take a village. It really is a numbers game. Check out our website as well at wherearethepodcast.com. There you will find occasional other missing person write-ups along with all of our past episodes. Again, thank you so much for tuning in today and for listening to Marissa Carmichael's story. She's been missing just over a year, but I'm really hopeful that answers are forthcoming soon. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.